management, or other sponsors. It's time for the Edge Broadcast with your host, Daniel Ott. You can join Daniel and his guest as we discover the truth together. Within the continental U.S., call toll-free 1-800-996-9638 or click on the Fast Blast link on the Edge Broadcast website. That's toll-free 1-800-996-9638 or click on the Fast Blast link on the Edge Broadcast website. You can find out about our guests and topics by logging on to the Edge's website, theedgeam.com. That's theedgeam.com. And now here's your host for the Edge Broadcast. Here's Daniel Ott.
Eric John Phelps.
Okay, Daniel. Pleasure to be with you, Mr.
Okay.
Ross.
That is better sound. I don't know why I have this, but my Skype and mine. Well, welcome to the program. Eric, by the way, there were a lot of people that were waiting for you last week. I just told them they were just a miscue, and I know you're sorry about that one night.
No, let me address that. I apologize to you and to your listeners. It was entirely my fault. I was incompetent and wrote down the wrong time, so please forgive me.
Oh, whoa.
And the other thing is I want to greet Simon from Malta. He called me last week to prepare me for it, and he called me today to prepare me for it. So thank you, Simon.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Got that over. Welcome to the program. I've got your website up behind me right now, Vatican Assassins. Eric, what's going on? Is that the Vatican going to assassinate somebody, or is somebody in the Vatican going to get assassinated?
It's the title of my book, Vatican Assassins, Wounded in the House of My Friends, that I wrote. The first edition was released in 2001, and my third edition, which was an extension of it, was released in 2007. Mm-hmm. And it details the Jesuit Order's assassination of President Kennedy. And before I could do that, I had to give a history of the Jesuit Order from its inception since 1540. And show the reader that this is par for the course. This is what they do with their enemies. And so when I came to the Kennedy assassination, all I had to do was prove motive and intent. Mm-hmm. And it all fit together quite well.
Mm-hmm. So are you? Would you suggest that the Jesuits were behind the Kennedy assassination?
Yes, I maintain that the Jesuit general at the time was Jean-Baptiste Janssens. Mm-hmm. And that he ordered the assassination for several reasons. And because the Jesuit order is an order outside of the Roman Catholic institution, it's above the Pope, it's above all the archbishops and bishops in hierarchy, that it controls the Roman Catholic institution, the Pope and so on. And so the hierarchy carried out the assassination in the person of Francis Cardinal Spellman. And Francis Cardinal Spellman used his Knights of Malta in key positions of power to carry out the assassination, and then, of course, cover it up, which is greater power than to carry out the assassination itself.
So did the Jesuits just think that Kennedy was just an uncooperative Catholic? Is that why they had to ice him?
That's right. Yeah, Anthony Hilder has a DVD out titled Skull and Bones, The Catholic Connection, mm-hmm. and he has a very interesting clip in there where George W. Bush is at the Catholic prayer breakfast, and the host of the prayer breakfast describes George Bush as our second Roman Catholic president. And then he pauses for a second and says, maybe the first. Mm-hmm. Meaning that indeed Kennedy was disobedient. He wanted to do many things that the Vatican was completely against. For example, he wanted to end Cardinal Spellman's war in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. It was called Spelly's War. And he set out to end it by 1965. And the Spellman, of course, didn't want that because you're in the heat of the Cold War hoax.
Yeah.
Remember, the Cold War was a hoax. Mm-hmm. And it was under this Cold War ideology that they built their international intelligence community.
Mm-hmm. A question from the live chat coming in here. Do you know if Malachi Martin was murdered by the Jesuits?
From my sources say that he was, that he... that he was murdered by the Jesuits because he talked too much, but he was given a dispensation from the Pope to to leave the order for a while. Mm-hmm. But of course, you know, a high Jesuit like Malachi Martin never did leave the order, maintained there was only salvation inside the Catholic Church till the day he died. But I'm convinced he was murdered because the things he wrote in his books, like Jesuits, their betrayal of the Catholic Church and Windswept House, that he probably said too much.
Mm. Now, how long have the Jesuits been in operation? Have you researched them historically? Where can you track it down to? Where did this group of kooks come from?
Okay, I have it all laid out in my book, Vatican Assassins, Wounded in the House of My Friends. But my book is 1,836 pages, and I wrote it so that it would be a compendium of sources. So I have over 250 sources in my book that people can look for in there. But I lay it out beginning with the order being established in 1534. Loyola established its in Paris with nine other Jesuits. And then in 1540, it's openly brought into the Roman Catholic institution by Pope Paul III, who was a Farnese.
Yeah. Did they come from the Knights Templar?
Yes, they did. I have a book on it showing that Loyola himself was a Knights Templar. Of course, and also an Alumbrados. And the Jesuit order was at one time, at the beginning, called the Order of the New Knights Templars, as well as being called the Knights of the Virgin Mary. But they were called the Order of the New Templars. Mm-hmm. And as you remember, Clement V suppressed the Templars in 1312 with a papal bull.
Mm-hmm. So the basic Catholic Church, was that invented by the Jesuits?
No. The Roman Catholic institution was started by Constantine in 325 AD at the Council of Nicaea. I prove this in my PowerPoint that I offer for sale on my website. Constantine oversaw the council at which they decided to create their new God, Jesus Christus, a.k.a. Jesus Christ, and not the true Lord Jesus Christ of the Scriptures, but the Jesus Christus, that would unite East and West. And when he created this religion for the empire, it was nothing more than the pagan Romanism, the mystery Babylon religion that had been transferred into Rome, given a quote-unquote Christian garb, in which they then called it, quote, Christianity.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Alrighty. Now, it says, from the live chat, says, if you are actually exposing the Jesuits, are they going to put a hit out on you?
Well, they could if they wanted to, but I'm of the belief, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and rose again, and by belief of the gospel, God has saved me by his grace. I merit nothing. And therefore, if I'm doing his will and I am not in any known sin, he will protect me until he's finished with me. So I maintain that I'm immortal till the Lord's done with me, and I care not if they want to put out a hit on me.
Mm-hmm. All right. And here's a question, again from the live chat. Do you know about the connection between the Knights of Malta and the Council for National Policy?
Yes, the Council for National Policy has several Knights of Malta in them. One of them is Adolf Kors, who's a Knight of Malta. And there's, I believe, on a list I had that Cardinal Avery Dulles was also affiliated with the Council for National Policy. There is no question that there are several high, powerful knights. Well, Pat Buchanan, he's affiliated with the Council for National Policy. So right. There are high knights of Malta in that council playing the right wing, restore the culture warrior side of this Hegelian dialectic. And they are more dangerous than the Council on Foreign Relations.
Mm-hmm. And it says another question here. I don't know if this is a question. It says, were the Jesuits successful in infiltrating the Scottish Rite Freemasons? Are they all in on it? What are the Jesuits doing? I mean, do they masquerade themselves and infiltrate just innocuous organizations like your basic Scottish Rite or whatever Brotherhood of Kooks, whatever. The flavor is in the local neighborhood for Freemasonry?
With regard to Scottish Rite, the Jesuits authored the Scottish Rite. Mm-hmm. I show in my book that in the College of Clermont in Paris, France, that in 1754 they had finished creating the first 25 degrees of Scottish Rite Freemasonry. When they were protected by Frederick the Great, when the Jesuit order was suppressed in 1773, they then added their last 8 degrees, bringing it to the 33rd degree, and they created their Supreme Council of the 33rd degree. But the Jesuits then went on to author the higher Scottish Rite initiations, like the Rite of Memphis Mizrim. And the world headquarters for Scottish Rite Freemasonry is in Rome in the Piazza di Gesù, in the Plaza of Jesus, right where the headquarters for the head Jesuit church is, where Ignatius Loyola is buried.
So then the Vatican then, would you say that organization, the Jesuits, is in charge of the Vatican, or are they two separate entities and they're not connected? Who's in charge of who there?
Okay, they're two separate entities, but the Jesuit general, with his high Jesuit 10-man council, as revealed by Count Vittorio Vivaldi III, who is a count in Venice, along with the 10 assistants that advise the Jesuit general, who is Adolfo Nicholas, these are the Jesuits that rule the papacy. And we have really almost a dual generalship right now, because Peter Hahn Kolvensbach resigned in 2008, and Adolfo Nicholas was elected Jesuit general. And so there, Kolvensbach is the previous general of 25 years, from 1983 to 2008. And then we have the most recently elected Jesuit general, Adolfo Nicholas, who is really being advised by the old general. Because remember, the Jesuit general is general for life. But in answer to your question, the Jesuit general, the black pope, controls the white pope. And the white pope then controls the entire Vatican Empire, the entire Roman hierarchy. And that's the reason why the Jesuits backed the whole movement in 1870 for having the pope declared to be infallible. Once you consolidate all power into the hands of one man in the papacy, then all you have to do is control that one man. And that's what the Jesuits wanted through that doctrine of the Council, First Vatican Council of 1870.
All right, just for clarification, the black pope in and of himself is not necessarily a black pope in the color black. Is that what you, is that it? Or
No, it has nothing to do racially.
Okay,
although every
right.
Jesuit general has done
white. I do play that up a tad bit, but is more of an eagle, an evil connotation or descriptive of him. And I guess it's a him. And does the pope always, in the topsy turvy turned upside down world of popes running around there, is it possible there's a woman pope running the black pope, maybe?
No.
I'm just saying.
All power has been consolidated into the hands of a man.
Okay. Now, who gave the black pope his power?
The black pope, the Jesuit general with Ignatius Loyola, he was brought to power by Pope Paul III. When he was brought into the papacy, and Pope Paul III was a Farnese. And one of the things that we have learned recently is these 10 royal Roman families have been the financiers and backers of the Jesuit general. However, the Jesuit general, I am utterly convinced, is Satan's most powerful individual on earth, because Satan, like the Lord, seeks to concentrate all power in the hands of one man. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, he will establish his millennial rule on earth out of the city of Jerusalem, and all power will be vested in him, and then he will administrate his kingdom. Well, it's the same way with the devil. The devil has his man administrating this present world kingdom, and that is the Jesuit superior general, and he is kept in power by the power of his order, which to be a Jesuit, it takes 15 years in school. And therefore, you learn abject and complete and total obedience to your superior. It is a military organization. It is a company. In fact, it's called the Company of Jesus, just like the CIA is called the Company.
What role is Obama playing with the Jesuits? Is Obama a Jesuit?
Yes. Barry Davis Obama, his real name is Davis. His father's Frank Marshall Davis. He was a communist out of Chicago. Later moved to Hawaii. And so he really is an American, by the way. If they would just come straight out with who was his real father, you wouldn't have the birther issue. But Barry Davis Obama was created for this role since he was born. Mm-hmm. His mother was working for the CIA. She was working for the Ford Foundation. In fact, she worked with the father of Timothy Geithner. Mm-hmm. And so her parents were also working for intelligence, and she was educated by the Jesuits in a Jesuit institution in Lebanon. And so she was then had this child out of wedlock, and they decided to make this mulatto the president because they wanted to have a mulatto, primarily not black, but mulatto president since the days of William F. Buckley, and he writes about it in one of his books. And so the reason why they have done this is they've brought Barry Davis to power to completely and totally divide the whites and the blacks. You have the blacks in essentially left-wing socialist communism in the Democratic Party, and you have the whites in essentially socialist fascist right-wing fascism here with the Tea Party movement, and so that it will ultimately escalate into some sort of civil disobedience or civil disorder like a race war, and then they can have martial law. Everything Barry Davis Obama does tends to further outrage the historic white Anglo-Saxon, Protestant, and even Catholic middle class, to drive them into the arms of the Tea Party movement. And that's why the CIA keeps him and puts him in power.
Okay, does the CIA know that he's a Jesuit and he's deliberately undermining the cohesiveness of the country?
The CIA put him in power.
Okay, there is so you're no, saying, there, you're is saying no there was... Okay,
Obama
so
without
okay,
CIA.
All right, you say the CIA altered the vote?
Absolutely. There is no... We've had no elections probably since the days of Kennedy. Mm-hmm. There is no federal election.
I do notice one thing. Every time there's... One of these guys is elected. When George Bush was elected, all of a sudden later they said, oh, surprisingly, he's 10th cousin removed from John Kerry. And then they said, surprisingly, McCain is related to Obama. And I mean, it seemed like surprisingly everybody's related to everybody. But I know that the vote doesn't count because, for instance, you have the Arizona immigration law, which was overthrown by a judge, and the California gay marriage ban was overthrown. So the right to vote really has been non-existent. But you're saying that in a larger electoral sense, they're running the numbers with their supercomputer, hacking in there and feeding in the false data?
That's right. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who votes. It matters who counts the votes. And then the George Bush election, both of them were fraudulent. Obama's election is fraudulent. The reason why they put Bush in power is to so outrage the white middle class as to drive them in the arms of Obama so they can further be driven into fascism. George Bush and Barry Davis Obama are bosom buddies and friends working together. Mm-hmm. There is no difference in either agenda that they've had. Mm-hmm.
So what happens? Okay, is George Bush a Jesuit?
George Bush is a Jesuit temporal coadjutor, and that he's a member of Skull and Bones.
Okay, I was going to say, if you're a Jesuit and you're also a member of the Skull and Bones, do you get extra power or whatever they give you as a result of being in their organization? I mean, you know, as you get higher up, does that give you more power if you are in more of these sort of extraneous organizations?
Yes, it does. For example, William F. Buckley. William F. Buckley was a Bonesman.
Yeah.
He's Irish Roman Catholic. Was Irish Roman Catholic. He was a Bonesman.
Wait a minute. William F. Buckley, is he the guy who's always going,
that's right.
Well, why does anybody even listen to him anyway? I can't even understand what he's saying.
Well, remember, he's dead now. Oh, okay. He's passed away.
Well, I guess unless I have a seance, I won't be listening to him anymore, will I?
I guess not.
Okay. All right, continue on.
Okay, but William F. Buckley, he was a member of Skull and Bones. He went to Yale. And then he was a member of the Knights of Malta. Mm-hmm. And then according to one particular lady who was a CIA presidential model, she also said he was a Jesuit. Mm-hmm. So William F. Buckley was a very powerful man, a very rich man. Mm-hmm. He participated in the Kennedy assassination and cover-up. Mm-hmm. And he was a trilaterist, a Bilderberger, and a member of the CFR. So the more of these things you join, indeed, the more power and prestige you have, I'd say. Hmm.
All right. We have this question from the island of Malta. It is a known fact that the British royal family aren't especially Anglo-Saxon, but rather a German family called the Habsburgs. So I was wondering then, could you tell us what percentage of so-called British elites that are now being blamed for so much of the evil that's taken place in the world are likewise of recent German descendants just masquerading as true Anglo-Saxons?
You know, I really don't know the answer to that question. All I know is that the dynasty that's in power now is indeed Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, and it is German. Mm-hmm. The British people have lost their country to foreign rule, mm-hmm. and it wouldn't surprise me that there are a lot of other quote-unquote Englishmen that are part of the Pope's white power structure mm-hmm. that are really, in fact, not Saxon or Anglo.
Well, I say it still would help matters if the black pope was black, because we could do a lot with that. Question from Florida. How do we get control back for the people? Do we have to wait on Jesus to restore the world?
No. I cover this on my broadcast. I have a broadcast Monday through Friday called Biblical Truth and History and Prophecy on Liberty Radio Live. Mm-hmm. I have Monday and Friday, and I have other associates to take Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. But what I do is I address the topic of nationalism on Friday. Mm-hmm. And I show that in order to have a nation that is truly sovereign and not beholden to a foreign prince like the Pope or like the Queen of England, right. First it happened in the 18th century that the colonies went under a great awakening through the preaching of Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And with the Great Awakening, you had many people turning to the Lord, many people truly being born again. And so now they were being prepared for the nationalism that would be arising due to the tyranny of King George III, who was completely and totally in the hands of the Jesuits since 1760. So what happens is first there's a true revival, a born-again, things happen, people get born again, coming on the Lord on a large scale, and then this drives them to be people of prayer and thus have a pure life where you begin to forsake sin, which we're surrounded with in this culture, and then you truly start to pray for your country and become a nationalist. And so when nationalism begins, and you're reading from the Reformation Bible, the AV 1611 Reformation Bible, okay. God begins to bless your person and bless your country, and ultimately you can secede. And that's what the colonies did. They seceded. That's what the southern states tried to do. Mm-hmm. But you want to secede, resume your national sovereignty, and begin to set your own house in order.
Well, I sure would like to see some states secede from the Union.
Absolutely. I tell the people in Arizona regularly, what are you waiting for? Mm-hmm. What are you men waiting for? Your federal government doesn't protect your borders.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why, they've violated their part of the contract. You're no longer under the obligation.
You need to secede.
You need to assume your national sovereignty of Arizona, and then you need to take care of the lawlessness and crime that's been going on in your state.
Mm-hmm. Now, that might go to you said earlier about, and I don't like to refer to, say, a white middle class type of person, but the aggravation of so many Americans, by and large, that see right through the obvious intent to have massive amounts of illegal immigrants running through this country, creating mayhem, robberies. I mean, there's a story came out this last week that some university professors in California are using tax dollars to give GPS cell phones to the illegal immigrants as they cross the border so they can find water. And those two university professors were awarded tenure for life at a public university for doing so. So, you know, there is some aggravations. And then going back to how you suggest that there is an intent to foment racial strife per se, whether it's immigration related or color related, but you know, the polls keep coming out that a larger and larger amount of Americans believe that Obama is a Muslim only because he keeps doing things that are anti-American and pro-Muslim. I mean, so it's not a racial thing even there, but there is that fomenting undercurrent of, if you have somebody undermining the country that way, you have the immigration undermine, the financial undermine. It does seem that the structures of the society are being hacked with a machete that you would typically find in a place like Mombasa, Kenya. You know, so I'm just saying. Perhaps you're
okay.
Right.
Okay, we you covered several things there, so I'll deal with the Muslim issue first. The Jesuit order founded the Black Nation of Islam. Louis Farrakhan is a high-level Freemason, and he's been an agent for the FBI since 1964. Louis Farrakhan does not think about what's the benefit for his own black people. He's a traitor. Louis Farrakhan was involved in the assassination of Malcolm X, who told more truth in one day than Louis Farrakhan ever told in his entire life. So what the Jesuits have done is they have created this cult, because it's not Islam. They've created this cult called the Black Muslim Movement for the purpose of creating a race war. They have their army called the Fruit of Islam. They have thousands of weapons stored across the country and millions of ammo and lots of bullets. The second thing is the Jesuits then have also brought in all these Sunni and Shia Muslims from out of the country. And they've settled them in Minneapolis and other major cities.
Dearborn.
And they've used the funds of Saudi Arabia to build these mosques.
Yeah.
Jesuits run Saudi Arabia. They started Saudi Arabia in 1932 using Winston Churchill, Benito Mussolini, and the powers of the West to do so.
Right. And there are over 1,600 mosques in the United States right now.
Okay. So the purpose for all of this is to drive, and I'm concerned for my people. My people are white. My people are historically Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Protestant, and Baptist. Their purpose is to drive all of us into this right-wing fascist movement so that in the end, we're going to blame the Jews exactly as Germany did prior to World War II. This, what they pulled in Germany, they're pulling here. And so they brought in they've created three major enemies. They are creating the left-wing socialist communist blacks led by Freemasons like Louis Farrakhan, led by Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, all those bully society members.
All right.
They created the enemy of the Muslims here by having intelligence operatives who are leading these Muslims to do things that outrage the population. So you got the Islam. And then you got the alien Roman Catholic Mexican invaders. They're not immigrants. They're invaders. And they have no intention of being immigrants. They don't want to be American and they don't want to learn English. So we have this alien Roman Catholic Mexican invasion completely backed by the Jesuits and their Kino initiative out of Arizona. So that they've created these three big groups that are ultimately being favored by the federal government right now to drive the American whites, be they Protestant, Baptist, Catholic, atheist, to drive all the whites into the Tea Party right-wing movement, which is a precursor to Jesuit fascism.
Let it out, Eric. Let it out.
Okay. Okay.
Wow. Well said. I think you could go on there. I think without the audience having a massive amount of knowledge, I think most of what you said rang pretty true. Pretty true. But there is a protection. You talked about the federal government and their selected groups, you know, that the Black Panthers that were threatening voters in Pennsylvania with nightsticks and military garb, and somehow they got a pass from the federal when they had open and shut case with the Justice Department. Obama ordered them that case dropped. You know.
Yeah, but let's watch this now. Who did this? The man who did this was a member of the New Black Panthers. And I distinguish between the majority savage blacks and the minority civil blacks. It's not fair to include them all in the same group. And I consider the Black Panthers, the New Black Panthers, to be the majority savage blacks. They're calling for race war. And so what has happened is this guy made national news and all the white people are outraged. And then the Justice Department wants to proceed against him. And the mulatto Eric Holder says, no way, we're not going to proceed. We're not going to carry out the sentence. I guess there was a verdict, something like that. And so, and then mulatto Barry Davis Obama says, that's right, Eric Holder, you're not going to do it. So what it appears to all us whites is it's a black movement against us. That's what they want us to perceive it as, when the real impetus behind all of this is that white devil, that white Roman Catholic devil, who has two honorary degrees from the Jesuits, Joe Biden. Joe Biden is the president. He's behind all of this.
Huh?
That's right. He's the president. And they want to make him look like an idiot in the press. Joe Biden is the most brilliant senator in the Senate. He was the head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. You don't become head of that with not knowing where all the bodies are buried.
So he knows.
Just like Dick Cheney was the president under George Idiot W. Bush. Even so, Joe Biden is the president under Barry Idiot Obama, because Obama doesn't know anything about government in Washington.
Now, I don't know about the Joe Biden connection. He does, you're saying he's smart, but he's coming across, you know, a little incompetent several times. Is it because the implant in his brain as a Manchurian candidate, the chip's wrong or what?
No, Obama's the Manchurian candidate. Biden is the brilliant brain behind him. Mm-hmm. And Fox News, those fascists, want to portray that Joe Biden's an idiot and that he really doesn't know what's going on here. And Fox News also wants to portray that it's the Jews running Obama. It's David Axelrod or it's Rahm Emanuel. Those Jews are running Obama. See, that's what they also want us to believe.
Well,
when the fact is,
okay,
Joe Biden is the master of ceremonies.
Well, I would go with pick door number one, two, or three. I would go with David Axelrod because... Isn't he the one with the? Wait a minute, who's those three names you gave?
David Axelrod.
Yeah.
Rahm Emanuel.
Rahm Emanuel. That's the guy. He got these like black circles around his eyes. Okay, like he's been sleeping all night and doing drugs. I mean, that dude is spooky. Okay, so I'm gonna go with that guy as the Lord Master of Biden. You know, or controlling him. But okay, so you're making some crazy. Or, I don't want to say crazy.
That's okay.
Very. Well, I'm going to stress for some words here. Outlandish, maybe shocking. Shocking is a better word. Claims. But now, is there a hint, Eric, just to calm maybe those in the audience that may have a darker melanin than others? Are you in any way a white nationalist?
I am a white nationalist. I believe that, as I advocate, I believe that we need to separate racially for white people who want to have their own nation. I don't hate anybody of any other race, but I believe white people who want to live around their own kind should be able to have their own country, just like I believe black people who want to live around their own kind should be able to have their own country. That's why I agree with the Nation of Islam in that they need to have their own country with their own race, language, and culture, because it comes back to the question, what is a nation? A nation is a people that is composed of a common race, common language, and common culture with a common history, dwelling on a common geographic area with common boundaries. That's what a nation is.
And at this time, I would like to say the viewpoints expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the host, the advertisers, or anyone else that plays or replays this broadcast. Alrighty, let's get to some questions here. Is there any relation between Obama and Osama? You know, he's still running around out there.
Oh. No, there is no relation between Obama and Osama bin Laden, because Osama bin Laden's been dead since December 13th, 2001. Mm-hmm. Even Benazir Bhutto told us he was assassinated, for which reason she was assassinated.
Mm-hmm. Now, this looks like a redundant question here from somewhere in a deep underground military base. Somebody wants to know who runs the Jesuits. But you just said it was the granddaddy of all demon devils, the devil himself. Is that what I got from you, or was it?
That's right. Okay. That's right. The high Jesuits rule the world.
Okay. All right. Where is
specifically the Black Pope?
Okay. Where is Satan? I call him Satan. Just distinguish myself. Where is his lair at? Where is he now? Does he attend Jesuit meetings with the Black Pope and all them?
Well, if you're referring to Satan, as the 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, who is the god of this world, mm-hmm. Satan, for the most part, according to Revelation, he is constantly accusing the saints. And one day he's going to be cast out of heaven. He's going to be confined to the earth. But Satan has thrones, principalities, powers, and dominions. He has devils and demons and evil spirits that are submissive to him, and they have their own fields of responsibilities. And so there's no question that a high demon is involved with the high Jesuits in council.
Okay. When I want to get a little bit further into the demonic aspect of that, is he controlling their minds? Are these Jesuits, particularly starting with the Black Pope, is he a demon himself? Is it
no.
In a human body?
He's a man. He's a man, but he is possessed by some devil. Because when you go through the Jesuit brainwash, they call it Jesuit spirituality, you learn to be completely and totally submissive to any degree to your superior. Mm-hmm. And to keep the Jesuit mindset in place, every 30 days, every year, after 30 days for every year, they go to a retreat and they review Ignatius Loyola's spiritual exercises. Mm-hmm. And spiritual exercises really is just you setting yourself aside so you can be possessed by a spirit. I maintain that all the high Jesuits are demon-possessed men. They're a complete and total creature of their superior, and they will carry out any order that they are given without question.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty, question from the Fast Blast. Now, Eric John Phelps, this seems like a question you would like to have asked. So here it is. Hi, Eric. Have you heard of how so many of the best white young men in New York are being disappeared into thin air? It is disturbing to hear researchers talking about the white male population literally dwindling down to seemingly nothing. There you go. I mean, are they? Mm-hmm. Is somebody abducting the white guys in this country?
I don't know, but we have all sorts of black-on-white crime.
Yeah.
We have 10 white people that are killed every day and 100 white women that are raped every day. And it's the same kind of white crime that's going down in South Africa. They've killed 40,000 South African, white South Africans. The ANC, the black ANC, has killed 40,000 white South Africans since 1994, killing 3,500 farmers. So the Jesuits have this quest, of course, of reducing the white population, especially the white male population. And so that's what they have done since really the civil rights movement in this country. And it's going to continue.
Okay, and let's get back to another question here from the Fast Blast coming in. Are any of our current leaders, this is from Pennsylvania, any of our current leaders alien hybrids?
No, I do not believe in aliens. I do believe in human hybrids. I believe that the Jesuits, through their deep underground military bases in Area 51 and other places, have successfully crossed man with some other creatures. Some say a jackal, some say other creature, but they're in fact human. Like, for example, the Greys.
Yeah.
There's no doubt that these little bodies exist. I mean, they're at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Mm-hmm. But it's a result of Jesuit experimentation underground and creating these hybrids who can't reproduce, and they are in fact little men.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. And let's get to another question then. Is the Fatima aspirations, the Fatima apparitions part of a conditioning plan to be fulfilled by the Black Pope and the Satanic agenda in our possible future?
Yes, the Fatima fraud is purposed for several things. They have several secrets of Fatima. One of the first ones was when they appeared to these, when this supposed vision took place with these little girls in Fatima, that Russia would be conquered for the papacy. The godless Russia would be conquered. Mm-hmm. And the purpose for that is remembering, of course, that the Jesuit order oversaw the entire Bolshevik Revolution. The Jesuits ran it. Edmund Walsh negotiated with Gregory Zinoviev in 1922, who was the leading Jewish Bolshevik there. And it was Edmund Walsh who negotiated with him for the Vatican. And it was Edmund Walsh who really set up Joseph Stalin to be the head of the Communist Party in 1922 when he was there in Russia. But they want us to believe that it was the Jews, the Jewish communists, that carried out the Bolshevik Revolution and made that nation atheistic. And therefore, the Fatima was to create this dialectic between the papacy and communism, and that Fatima would then innervate and cause men to fight against this communism and then ultimately convert Mother Russia to the Pope. And so this Fatima vision was one of the big impetuses behind the German invasion of Russia in 1941 with Operation Barbarossa. Mm-hmm. So Fatima is really a design to submit all peoples to the Pope of Rome, to his universal temporal power, so that ultimately when the final Pope is murdered, assassinated, he has a wound with a sword, he comes back to the life, he's indwelled by Satan, who's been cast out of heaven, and he will then be the man-beast, the Antichrist, to rule the world for 42 months from Solomon's Third Temple and ultimately the rebuilt city of Babylon.
Mm-hmm. Another question along the race issue here. Hello, Eric. What percentage of those so-called milk carton kids that go missing by the hundreds of thousands each year are known to be white children? Is there yet another way a race is being systematically annihilated out of existence.
I'm not sure what the percentage is, but I'm sure it's high, and a lot of them are Catholic. Mm-hmm. For example, I know of a former archbishop, a man that was affiliated with him, that has said that a particular mass murdering killer, a serial killer, mm-hmm. killed all these children except a few. Mm-hmm. And that serial killer was John Wayne Gacy.
Wow.
He killed all these Catholic children.
Mm-hmm. So he's picking them out by their religion, eh?
Well, that's one way, yeah. Well, Kathy O'Brien, they made her a presidential prostitute. She was Irish Catholic.
Wasn't Gacy a homo?
Yes, and he was a Mason, too.
Well, I'm just wondering, if he's killing the Catholic kids, I'm wondering when he gets to heaven, he gets 70 homos instead of 70 virgins. He gets 70 homos, like the Muslims say. I'm just saying,
I mean, it can happen. John Wayne Gacy was a wicked sinner. He died and went to hell.
But it can happen. All right, here's a question. What's your take on George Bush's call for the outlawing of human-animal hybrids?
I think it is a ruse, because secretly they're all for it. They love experimenting genetically, and they'll never stop doing it. Mm-hmm. And they'll use their drug money or their secret black ops money or wherever they can get it, their dope money, to continue with these experiments in their underground bases. So this is the typical Vatican policy. The Vatican has an open but false policy, like the Pope being against the war in Iraq. Mm-hmm. But he has a secret but true policy, and that is he's completely behind it. He incited it. He was the one behind 9/11 using Archbishop Edward Cardinal Egan and his Knights of Malta, particularly George J. Tenet, that Knight of Malta, who was DCI and one of the heads of the National Security Council. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that brought down 9/11, caused it to justify a papal crusade, which the Pope secretly wants.
Mm-hmm. Did the Jesuits create the Islamic religion?
Yes. No, not the Jesuits, the papacy.
The papacy.
The papacy created in the 7th century, about 610. And the ones who created were the Augustinian monks in North Africa. And they created the religion specifically for the Arab people. Because the Arab people was an enemy of the racial Jews. Because remember, the Arabs are descendants of Ishmael, and the Jews are descendants of Isaac. And so there is a warring between both of them that's in the genes. And so the Vatican made the Arabs so that they would be their weapon. So how can we have this Arab sword of the church? We'll give them a religion that's exactly like Roman Catholicism. Islam has a primary language. That's Islamic. That's Arabic.
Right.
Romanism has a primary language. That is Latin. Islam has a center city. That's Mecca. Rome has a center, or Islam, Catholicism has a center city, which is Rome. And Rome has crusades, Islam has jihads. It's the exact same identical religion, except Islam is a religion for people of color and for Arabs, mm-hmm. and Roman Catholicism is for white people. Mm-hmm. And it's the same mystery Babylon religion.
I don't think you like them very well, Eric.
Oh, I like them, but I don't like their religion. Mm-hmm. I'm to hate every false way, but I give the gospel to them because the Lord Jesus Christ died for their sins, was buried and rose again, is coming back, and has commanded all men everywhere to repent, including them.
Okay. Question from the live chat. Do you know Leo Zagami, the ex-Jesuit member?
Yes, I know Leo. I was on a couple of broadcasts with him. Mm-hmm. But I do not believe he's an ex-Jesuit. Mm-hmm. I believe he still works with him.
Really?
And that's where he and I have a little falling out.
Okay.
Now, I understand he has a video that's up where he's exposing the Jesuits and where there's Masons, how he's shown that the Center for the Scottish Rite is in the Piazza di Gesù, and I commend him for that. But I would also encourage him to be completely come out away from the Jesuit order, have nothing more to do with them. And as long as he still associates with some of them, then I have to question his sincerity.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will question his sincerity, too, because he'll be on this program in October.
Hmm.
So... A question, this is from California, in the avatar name of Ghost Scott. It says, "Hi, Eric, I sent you my picture, Revelation 18:21. So I don't know, that must be something between you and him, I'm not sure. Question, are white people descendants of Jacob?
No. No, white people are descendants from Japheth. Remember, Noah has three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Mm-hmm. The Hamites are, the blacks descend from the Hamites. The Shemites, you have the Asians, and the Middle Easterners come from Shem. And you have Japheth, from whom come all the white nations. Mm-hmm. So those are the three racial breakdowns. You see, the Lord, after the flood, the Lord separated humanity. He doesn't want humanity united. He wants humanity divided. Because before the flood, there was one race, one language, and one culture living on one landmass. Mm-hmm. And in 1656 years, that humanity was entirely revolted against God, except six people. Eight people. Noah, his three sons, and their wives individually. Mm-hmm. So the Lord decided to prevent this from happening, or at least to slow it down, so he created the races. And in the creation of the races, he created us. He created them to keep humanity separate. Mm-hmm. He then created languages at the Tower of Babel.
Okay, I've seen that.
To further separate us.
Okay.
And then in Genesis 10:25, in the days of Peleg, was the earth divided? He divided the one landmass into seven different continents. Mm-hmm. So he divided us by where we live, by our race, by our language, and it's for our best. That's what's best for us. Mm-hmm.
I have in a background plan right now, I have black people and white people all getting along, having a big party time. But, Eric, it seems like you're a student of the biblical texts. Are you not? I mean, you obviously know what's in there, the Bible.
I do my best to be a student.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay, very good. But doesn't it say in Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek, free nor bond, and couldn't you extrapolate black nor white, all or one?
No. Well, you can, but let's take a look at that context. Let's go to Galatians, chapter 3? And Galatians 3, we have here, where's the 2? Of course, I can't find it when I, oh yeah, Galatians 3:28. Now let's go to 3:26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, those of us who were born again.
All right.
For as many as you, of you who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek.
Okay.
There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now here this passage is obviously teaching us that our status is the same. If I am a Gentile, I am a white Gentile. I will never cease to be a white Gentile. That status will never change for me. I'm in Christ, and I'm equal to a Jew that's in Christ, because he will always be a racial Jew. He will always be a descendant of one of the 13 tribes. And it's the same way, bond or free. Now, once that I'm in Christ, and I don't have very much money, I have no right to lay upon somebody that has money, hey, why don't you give me some of your money? The rich and the poor remain rich and poor. The bond or free remain bond or free. The Jew and Gentile remain Jew and Gentile. And the black and white remain black and white. And I would also add, it says there's neither male nor female. Well, the male, thank God, male and female will always remain male and female. The text is teaching us that regardless of our race, language, culture, or sex, we have an equal status in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that doesn't do away with what we are by virtue of our gender or our national origin or our race or the language that we speak. Those are still to be maintained.
Hmm.
And an example of that is, let's go to Romans 9. Hmm. Look what the Apostle Paul said. He says he has a great concern for his own people. Hmm. Verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. For I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, mm-hmm. my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites. Mm-hmm. Now if we're to abolish, we're to abandon all of our historic racial and cultural identities, what's he doing here?
Well, what I'm seeing is that there is not so much racial identities that way, more than there is being grafted into the same tree. And there's only a good tree and there's an evil tree. Those that are of the good tree, they are one with the Father and with Jesus, and so that where a Jewish person can become grafted in, you know, so to speak, and a Gentile become grafted in, a black person and a white person can be grafted in, and those things then no longer exist. You now become one with the eternal spirit because there's only one spirit, one God, one Father, in all, through all, and in you all. So I'm not really sure where the difference will be maintained that you speak of.
Okay, let me give you an example. If what you say is true and we're to abandon all those differences, then I think the next time I get married, I'm going to marry a man.
A who?
Because a man. I'm a man, I'm going to marry a man. Because there's no difference between male or female, right? So why can't I marry a man?
Okay.
I can use that verse with the doctrine that you're advocating and justify sodomy. We have to maintain these differences.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All righty. Well, we'll have to leave that one for another time. I think we're going to be deadlocked on that. What is here's a question. What is a real Jew and a fake Jew and a racial Jew? Are there three different types of Jews?
Okay, there are really two different kinds of Jews when you speak racially. Now, the Bible is clear that a Hebrew is an Israelite is a Jew. They're synonymous terms. And in the conspiracy movement arena, they're going to deny that. They're going to say Jews are not Hebrews. Mm-hmm. But I can show you in the book of Jeremiah where Hebrews are Jews in the same verse. So what we have in the Abrahamic covenant, we have the promise of God given to Abraham that his physical seed through Isaac, through Jacob, through his 12 sons, and specifically Joseph, branches off into Ephraim and Manasseh, that these 13 tribes are racial. It is a holy seed, and that it is being sovereignly preserved by God for the future inheritance of the millennial kingdom when Christ will return, and with national repentance to the Hebrew Jewish Israelites, he will then divide up their land pursuant to the 12 tribes, according to Ezekiel 48. So a Jew, first and foremost, is a particular race of an individual. Mm-hmm. Secondly, a Jew can be a proselyte. He can be a Gentile that is converted to the Judaistic religion, to the Christ-rejecting, Bible-rejecting, cultish Jewish religion, because in Orthodox Judaism, they put the Talmud on the same level as the Holy Scriptures, and that is the definition of a cult, just like the Roman Catholic Church pushes the tradition of the fathers and canon law on the same level with the Scriptures, just like the Book of Mormon and Mormonism is put on the same level with the Scriptures. Anything that does that, any religion that does that is a cult and is Antichrist. So there are Gentiles that convert to the Judaistic religion, and they say they are Jews, but they are really not, because they are primarily not of the race of the descendants of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty, a question from William in Texas. Do you study anything about the web bots, and do the web bots say, how much time do the web bots say before stuff hits the fan?
I don't know anything about the web bots.
Okay.
So I'll have to.
Alrighty. A question. Philip in Georgia wants to know, do the Jesuits have an Ark of the Covenant?
Do they have the Ark of the Covenant?
Yes.
What do you mean? I don't think so. If anybody has it, it would be the papacy.
Well, if they're run by the great Satan himself under the guise of his puppeteer, the puppet, the Black Pope, it seemed they would have all power to get that.
I would agree. However, we have to go back and to the days of Christ in the Second Temple. And remember, at the Second Temple, they had no Ark of the Covenant in it. Mm-hmm. The Ark of the Covenant disappears with the Babylonian captivity and never surfaces again. So I wouldn't doubt that it's quite possible that they have the Ark of the Covenant, and that they will maybe furnish the third Hebrew temple that's going to be rebuilt after this war, that they may furnish it with the Ark of the Covenant. But for a surety as to whether I know they have it or not, I'm not sure, and I tend to doubt it. Because what they're going to do is the second beast, who is going to be the false prophet, he will be a Jew, and he will take this idol, this statue of stone of the Antichrist, and he will place it in the third temple, and this statue will be able to talk and speak and command death to anybody who doesn't worship it. So the Ark of the Covenant is not going to be central here. It's going to be the image of the beast that will be central in this third Hebrew temple that's going to be built.
Just a quick brush up here. You're not a Nazi, right?
Of course not.
Okay. All right. Question from the live chat. What race was Noah?
Don't know.
Alrighty.
We don't know what any of the antediluvians were. They were one race, probably, I would say, an olive skin race. They definitely weren't white because the white race is a new creation with Japheth. Uh-huh. And they weren't black because the black race is a new creation with Ham and Canaan. Mm-hmm. So it was probably an olive skin race of some sort.
So you're for separation of races, but when you ascend into the afterlife in the great sweet by and by and that, you're going to be sitting at the same table with them, right?
Well, of course. Revelation 5:9 says that. Okay. If you read Revelation 5:9, it says here, and these are the 24 elders, which are, I'm convinced, are representing the church. Mm-hmm. And Revelation 5:9, it says, and they said, they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So no doubt in heaven all the races will be there together, but we'll be in glorified bodies, and we won't have a sin nature, and it will be not best for us to be separated as it is best for us now to be.
Mm-hmm. Now, in sort of a Buddhist sort of way, you really can't believe that, say, like it's sort of like in reincarnation type of thing, because you could actually come back as a black man, and that would really mess you up, wouldn't it?
Well, no, I don't believe in reincarnation. It's unbiblical. It's a satanic doctrine. Let's put it this way. If I was created as a black man, I would accept my place as a black man and praise God for it. Yeah. I mean, that's what God did. That's how he created me.
Okay, but do you consider all the races equal?
I consider them all equal in sin, all equal in going to hell, all equal in their need for salvation. But as far as cultural accomplishments, absolutely not. I do not believe the black race has the same high cultural accomplishments as the white race or the Shemites. Your four major world empires.
They did. They invented peanut butter.
Well, I mean, George Washington Carver was a godly man. George Washington Carver was a brilliant mulatto, and he had many inventions for the peanut. George Washington Carver loved the Lord.
All right, but you would agree, though, that Asians are far superior mentally than, say, your basic Western white guy.
No, I maintain the basic Western white guy's on drugs. He's addicted to TV. He doesn't think for himself. He's addicted to Nintendo. He doesn't study and he doesn't work. And the vast majority of young white men are spoiled brats, unfortunately, living on trust money.
Okay. All right.
No, what we need is, if you examine the culture of whites, you'll find that they are the highest inventors, they're the greatest chemists, they're the greatest musicians, they've created the greatest musical pieces, all done by historic white Protestant nations.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. I was going to say, you know, I mean, if you did destroy the white guy, man, we wouldn't have the iPhone. For one thing,
you wouldn't have the iPhone. You wouldn't have cars. You wouldn't have guns.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have windows. You wouldn't have a
host of things. So if you're a Jesuit or if you're some other race, whatever, you really don't want to get rid of the white guy. You want to kind of like use him like a host. You know, keep him alive, keep him inventing stuff and making the world better and more prosperous. You know, so you can take his stuff from him. Hey, a question.
I want to comment to that.
Oh.
What you want to do is, if you're the devil, and realizing that the whites are the greatest warriors in history, the most decisive battles in history have been fought by whites, what you're going to do is you're going to pick out an elite group of whites, and you're going to use them to run the world. And I call this the Pope's white power structure. Mm-hmm. The white power structure runs the world. It runs every country. And this white power structure is Masonic. It's papal knighthoods.
Okay.
And it is against the very white nations from whence it came.
Well, there you go. That's how I opened the show up, saying I'm against the white man myself. So, you know, I mean, he's out there.
You're against certain white men. You're against the white power structure.
Okay.
But you're not against your own people, I would hope.
Okay, but my people? Hey, man, my race is a human race, but let's just
I'll tell you. Okay.
Are all men created equal and endowed by the Creator with certain inalienable rights, or are they not created equal?
Well, you mean culturally or with rights or what's the? I don't understand your question. Spiritually, because I address the spiritual portion.
That was the Constitution, man. Preamble to Constitution. Okay.
Okay. I mean, are you asking me the question? Is the Constitution, was it created for black men? Is that what you're asking me?
No, I mean, are all you basically are saying that certain races are smarter than others, I guess.
I'm saying that the white race is culturally superior than the black race,
okay,
and that it is culturally superior to Asian races. And if you want to examine civilization, I'll prove my point. I'm not saying that the white man has the right to oppress any race.
Yeah.
And you see, that's what the Jesuits have done using the American military.
Uh-huh.
And that's what they've done using the Europeans in the 19th century with a grab for the dash to Africa, reducing all those African nations to slavery to work on the rubber plantations. All of that was a sin and a crime. Thank God American white men were not involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
So just because we are able to create a cultural superiority doesn't mean we have the right to oppress anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I advocate that we need to separate, we need to have our own nation of white men who believe the Bible and want to live according to those mandates, and a black group of Christians, which I know several of them, they want to have their own nation. They don't want the white man around them. They want to have their own country. And they want to have their own women with themselves and their own children and raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, then we can have our two countries border one another, and we can enter into a treaty with one another, and we can trade with one another. And for those people who want to mix racially, they can have their own country. In fact, they can have this country.
Equal but separate?
Equal, what do you mean, equal but separate?
Now, Eric, you realize that kind of talk don't go. Because nobody's going to, how is it that, that is racially incendiary, it seems to me. I meant,
If you talk to certain black people that I know, they're going to tell you they don't want any white people in their family.
Yeah.
Does that make you angry?
No.
Doesn't make me angry.
No,
I respect them for it.
Doesn't make me angry, no.
And so they should have the right to have their own black nation.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I agree with the Black Panthers. They have a right to have their own black nation somewhere here in North America, just as much as I have a right to have my own white nation, which I call Pro-Baptical, somewhere here in North America. I'm not hurting anybody.
Mm-hmm.
He who stands on his own rights injures no one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's a question. It says... And I don't know how this person knows, but it said Noah had white hair and blue eyes. What is the significance?
I don't know how he knows that. If you can give me a Bible verse for that,
I don't know either.
I never read
the blue-eyed part. I figure maybe he grew old and had the white hair, I suppose.
Could be.
Okay.
Like me.
Okay. What do you know about fallen angels?
Okay, The fallen angels are a group of angels, apparently a third of the angels that fell with Lucifer, when Lucifer said that he would be like the Most High and a few other things in Isaiah 14. And when Lucifer fell, he became Satan, and one third of the angels followed him. And so these angels are fallen angels. They lost their bodies.
Ooh.
They're disembodied spirits.
Yeah.
Just like the devil is a disembodied spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And those angels that are not fallen, they're what the Bible calls the elect angels. And then you also have an archangel and you have Gabriel. But these are creatures that can manifest themselves in a physical form as well as in a spiritual form, whereas fallen angels can only be in a spiritual form, and they seek to possess bodies like humans, like pigs, like animals. They have to possess a body for their expression.
Mm-hmm. Again, that would get you back to some kind of hybrid.
Perhaps no, when you talk hybrid, you're talking about a racial genetic mixing.
Yeah. Couldn't
these spirits just enter in the physical body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. From the live chat, it says, are we a type of fallen angel in a shell on a prison planet? How about that one?
That's an interesting question. We have a body, soul, and spirit. We're three-part. We're tripart beings,
according
to Hebrews chapter 12. Chapter 4, verse 12.
Right.
We are fallen because we're an Adam. We have a sin nature. Our flesh, our very physical flesh, is sinful. Our bodies are sinful. And so we are, our spirits and our souls are trapped, you're right, in these bodies. That's true.
Okay.
And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ said, except you be born again, you shall not see the kingdom of God. So we need to be born again, and once we're born again, then we're indwelled by the Spirit of God, and so now we're no longer prisoners in these bodies because we've been freed from the tyranny that's in this world through lust, and we've also been freed from the flesh to which we were servant to, because he that continually serves sin is the servant of sin. So yes, I would say that we are captives in these fleshly bodies until we're born again. Until such time, we are dead and blind. We're dead in sins and blinded by the God of this world.
All right. All right. For those of you just joining us on the program, we have tonight Eric John Phelps. We're talking about the Black Pope, and you can certainly visit his website there. And what is that, Eric?
www.vaticanassassins.org.
Okay. We have a link to that website there. And remember, everybody, this show will begin to replay, and immediately following the broadcast, and the audio will be up shortly thereafter. All right, so let's get back to some more questions coming out of here. Were there two creation stories, Jeremiah 4? I don't know about that, but are there two competing creation stories going on?
Some people say that in Genesis chapter 1 you have a general creation. But then in chapter 2, there is a reiteration of what the Lord did in chapter 1. Rather than just saying that he created man on the sixth day, in chapter 2, you realize he created Adam, and then lastly Eve, and gives them jurisdiction in the garden with a command not to eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Giving the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. So it's, chapter 2 is a reiteration of chapter 1, but there are no two creation stories.
Mm-hmm. Do you subscribe to the earth being created in 6,000 years ago, or 6 billion?
About 6,000, yeah.
Okay, you go with a, what do they call it, early creationist type of theory?
Yeah, a biblical creationist. I'm a literalist. Okay. We're going to read the Bible literally. It says what it means. It means what it says. And so the Lord created heaven and earth and all that's therein in 6 days, and the seventh day he rested. And when you calculate it back using the Bible, you come out to about 6,000 years. If you can use the Hebrew calendar, it's 5,770.
All right. From a live chat, do you believe the earth is stationary and the sun is revolving around the earth?
Absolutely. The earth does not move. And the Bible teaches that. The Bible teaches that the sun revolves around the earth, and there's a couple instances where God stopped the sun in its circular, in its trek around the earth. On a couple instances. So the sun revolves around the earth in an up and down fashion, from the equator going up to the Tropic of Cancer, and then coming down back to the equator, and then going down to the Tropic of Capricorn, mm-hmm. and then starts its trek up. And so that's how the sun revolves around the earth. Mm-hmm. And this is important to know, because you have to know the position of the sun if you're going to detonate a nuclear weapon.
Well, I guess the good news is you don't think the earth is flat. You think it's round. But
well, of course,
do you have
Isaiah 40 says it's round.
Do you have
sits on the circle of the earth.
All right. Do you have any scientific data that the earth is not moving?
Yes.
Is there any scientists out there that agree with you?
Oh, my, yes. There's a whole bunch of them. A whole bunch of geocentrists out there now. There's a book you might want to get called The Earth Is Not Moving by Marshall Hall. And there's a couple of very good geocentric sites that you might want to consult. You can find them on the web.
Yeah, we had Marshall Hall on.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't remember if that was his thing about the yeah, I think it was saying that satellites were not revolving around the Earth either. They were in geosynchronous stationary orbit.
No. Satellites are moving.
Oh, they're moving, huh?
You can see them moving. The moon's moving. The sun's moving. The satellites are moving. The stars are moving.
Everybody's moving to the Earth.
Everything moves. That's right. The Earth is stable. The Earth is the stage for the Son of God to make the greatest demonstration of the love of God in all eternity.
All right.
It is the most important place that he ever created, and it is stable, and it's the center of all things. Mm-hmm. We don't even know the distance to the sun.
Mm-hmm.
You can't calculate the distance.
Okay,
you have to know the mass.
Man, we got to do all these little one-liner checks here. Do you think the Americans went to the moon?
Of course not.
Of course not.
That was all a lie. Yeah, absolutely a lie.
Okay.
There's no one's. I do not believe anybody, anything that has survived and come back. Nothing has been beyond the Van Allen belts, mm-hmm. because after the Van Allen belt, you're going to burn up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe anything went to the Mars, to anything. That's all nonsense. I wouldn't believe anything these astronomers tell us, because if they can't get geocentricity right, they can't get anything else right.
But is that then the lie that the Earth is revolving around the sun, that whole concept there, is that basically to extrapolate that down all the way to man came from monkey and evolution is true and God does not exist? Is that the extrapolate? Is that part of
that's
the
exactly,
big?
That's exactly right.
Okay. They have to have that in order to continue
the lie. If the Earth is revolving
the
around the sun, the Bible is a lie. Mm-hmm. You can take it and throw it in the trash. Psalm 19 is very specific when it says... concerning the creation, verse 4, their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The sun has a circuit. And furthermore, when Moses was holding his hands up and the Lord lengthened the day for the battle, he kept the sun from moving. The Bible is very clear that he kept the sun from moving. Jesus Christ said the sun rises. So if the sun does not move, the Bible is a lie. And that's why the Jesuits shoved heliocentricity down our throats.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. In a more controversial, if we haven't been controversial enough, I've seen this question here on the program many times. Did Eve have sex with Satan in the Garden of Eden and therefore
no.
birth Cain? You don't go with that one, huh?
Nope. Satan is a spirit. Satan is not in a physical body. He doesn't have the capacity to generate semen. Satan is a spirit and he has to inhabit a body, just like he was in the snake when the snake spoke to Eve. It was Satan speaking through the snake. So, no, Satan never had sex with any woman unless he possessed the body of a man to do it.
Did he have sex with an altar boy?
No.
I'm just throwing that out. I'm sorry.
I figured you would.
I'm sorry.
No, that's for the priests.
Okay.
That's for priests who all need to get married and have wives.
Okay.
And then you can do away with 95% of all this sin in the Catholic Church.
I mean, that's it. Yeah, I mean, just let them marry. I mean, they're going after each other. They're going after the
right.
kids. What, you know? That's crazy. What about the Vatican astronomers? They say they're watching Planet X. And didn't even the Pope come out and basically kind of say he's allowing contemplation on the existence of aliens?
Yes, he did. And it's all for his alien deception that they're promoting.
Uh-huh.
They're going to try to use this alien deception and being invaded from outer space. My Hispanic brother in Christ, Marco Ponce, he did a series on this on my broadcast. You might want to tune into his website at marcoponce.com. Mm-hmm. And the reason for this is to unite all the world against some alien intergalactic invader.
Right.
And it's utter nonsense. The only invader coming from outer space is the Lord Jesus Christ at his second coming with all of his saints. But apart from that, there is no predator. There are no aliens. It's all completely nonsense. All biological life that is born, that has a liquid in its veins, that must drink and eat, defecate, and ultimately die, all has an Earth origin.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we never can find out how the aliens go to the restroom. Nobody ever has that answer.
That's right.
Because they're big. Okay, well, thank you for that one there. I mean, now here's a question from on a more kinder, gentler question. Do you have any knowledge on the Norway spiral? What type of phenomena is that?
Norway spiral. I don't know anything about that.
Okay. Alrighty. By the way, when we're talking about the planetary rotations, are the other planets stationary too, or are they rotating?
Well, they're rotating too. Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. So they're rotating around the Earth. The other planets are rotating around the Earth.
If indeed they are planets, and if they indeed are, I question. Well, like, for example, what do they say? That Pluto's not a planet anymore?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Okay.
So if there are indeed planets that are really out there, that they're not in fact stars, and that they are indeed planets, then they are rotating around the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Just as the stars, as the Big Dipper and all these different houses. A very good book for your listeners to get is called The Witness of the Stars by Bullinger. It's a tremendous masterpiece. It was written in the late 19th century, and it shows how all the different constellations tell of Christ the bruising of his head and so on, bruising of Satan's head and so on. But all the entire constellations, they move. That's why the Big Dipper will be in one position at one time of a year, and then be in a completely different position at another time of year.
Now, you believe in the literal interpretation of the Bible.
Absolutely.
So it says, it's such as in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. And now they were eating and drinking, but there were also giants. Now, are we soon to expect giants walking around the earth?
No, because it didn't say that in that context.
Hold on here. Yeah, it does.
Yeah. No, show me in Matthew 24 where it talks about giants.
Well, it said the things that were going on in times of Noah, the same things will be going on now.
No. And he just says what is. He says what's going on. He says they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage.
Yeah,
he didn't say anything more.
He didn't alliterate all the things, but I mean, he was. You could, if the writing kept on going, he would have.
Would he?
That's
obvious. Would he have said, as in the days of Noah, so shall be in the Son of Man? Because in the days of Noah, there were no races.
Hmm.
In the days of Noah, there was only one language. In the days of Noah, where there was only one landmass.
Okay, since there's only one. Then it means Jesus will never come back, because there's always going to be a division of races.
What I'm saying is, when you add to the scriptures there, then you add confusion. That's not what it says. He says they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, but you just went on to say that there was a single race.
Yeah, before the flood. That's right.
Okay.
And so, if we are going to adopt your position,
but you agree then? Well, let's take that one now. Okay, I'll give you the giants, although that runs it for me because I'm looking forward to the giant attack. But hey, no problem. And people have seen them. They've said they're in Israel now, but that's okay. And they're flying around spaceships. That's okay too. But you said there was one race, and since there is division of races, quite clearly, that's never going to end. Then are you saying Jesus will never come back?
No, what I'm saying is that if you are going to add the detail that there are going to be giants in the earth as there was in the days of Noah, which I do not believe you can prove by the scripture.
No, what it said was, so shall it be as in the days of Noah. Okay, right there. I mean, it went on to just basically throw out a few of things that were going on. But it says, as in the days of Noah. So there was a lot going on there, and it is
My point is, my point is that if we're going to take your point to its conclusion, we not only have to include the existence of giants.
Thank you.
We have to include the doing away with of the races. We have to include the doing away with of the languages. Mm. We have to do away with the continents. I mean, we have to. Are you saying that everything as the way it was in the days of Noah, so shall it's going to be in the Son of Man? Why, of course not.
The literal interpretation.
No, the literal interpretation right there in Matthew 24 is he tells you, he explains what he means. He says that that they would be eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. Mm-hmm. That's all he said.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all he means.
Well, that's pretty much from time immemorial till time eternal. That's going to be going on, eating and drinking, which is a necessary part of survival. And whether there's, you know, homos married or man and women still continue to marry, somebody's getting married, you know, brothers and sisters, whatever the future holds. You know,
okay,
here it is right here.
Okay. Matthew 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, this is the second coming. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
Okay.
And so he's making the point is that there's going to be marrying and giving of marriage, and when the Son of Man comes, it's going to be a surprise, even as was it was surprised when the flood came, even though those people were preached to by Noah for 120 years. They didn't believe.
Okay. Do you agree that there were some sort of angelic insemination of women back in the days of Noah, with the sons of God coming down to daughters of men and creating giants? So do you believe that there were giants, and was there some sort of connection there, some sort of hybridization there between the spirits that came down and the women?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you. Okay.
It's clear in Genesis 6 that these sons of God, who did not fall with Satan, they came down after his fall, and they saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and because, you see, they were not fallen angels, they had a physical body that they could manifest. They could be spiritual, they could be invisible, or they could be physical. And so these angels, these sons of God, these Beni Lo Elohim that you find in Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2, they came down and they had sex with women all that they chose, because who's going to stop them? They're the strongest creatures in the world. No man can stop these sons of God. So they took as many women as they wanted, and they fathered as many children that they wanted. So the earth had lots of giants in them. The mighty men of old, men of renown. But they were all killed in the flood. And the sons of God were cast into Tartarus, into chains of darkness, until the great white throne judgment.
Well, I don't know which is more depressing, white nationalism or there's not going to be any giants. I was looking forward to that, okay? You know, I was stocking up with some Orgon blasters, whatever I got to have, take these dudes down. Question from the live chat. Should we build an ark, Eric John Phelps?
No. See, our ark is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay.
So once we're born again, once we truly believe, see, the Lord's commanded all men everywhere to repent, to turn from your sins, and to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins personally, as though he did every one of them. That he was, and that he took the whipping, he took the judgment of God for our sins that we rightly deserve. His death was vicarious. And that he truly died. He was dead. And that he stayed dead for 3 days and three nights. And that when he came back to life, he rose from the dead bodily. And he ascended into heaven. And he committed the Great Commission to his apostles and believers. And now we live in a time warp in this period of time between the 69th and the 70th week of Daniel, where the gospel of the grace of God is being preached to all nations to the ends of the earth for the salvation of his elect, whose names are written down in the book of life before the foundation of the world. That's what's going on right now.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the live. Well, let me see. Live chat here. Eric John Phelps, do you believe there's going to be a rapture?
I believe there is going to be an appearing. Ooh. I do not call it a rapture, because a rapture is a Jesuit term derived from the Latin, and the appearing is a biblical term. So the appearing is Titus chapter 2 verse 13, and to wait from our Savior from heaven for the appearing for the great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is Titus 2:13, and we have the appearing in a couple other passages.
Okay.
So I believe that there is going to be a momentary appearing any moment now of the Lord Jesus Christ for the bodies of His people. First, the dead bodies are going to rise, and then those of us in our living bodies, we're going to arrive, we're going to be changed, and we're going to be with Him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So I do believe that the hope of the Bible-believing Christian is the imminent, momentary appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ for us, not the second coming.
But now, He's not just coming for the white dudes, is He?
Well, of course not. As I read to you in Revelation chapter 5:9, out of every race, language, kindred, and tongue. The gospel is to go to all nations. The Bible says that we're to take the gospel to every nation under heaven. And the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. We're to go to all nations.
Okay. There's a scripture that says something about only those that have the seal of God. And so the question from the live chat is, what do you think the seal of God might be?
Well, it depends which context the gentleman is talking about. The Bible teaches that those of us who are in Christ, according to Ephesians 4:30, have been sealed to the day of redemption. So if you're in Christ, you've been sealed by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit, and you are now in Christ, and no man will pluck you out of the Father's hand. You are now safe in Him. You've been sealed. Okay. There is another sealing of the 144,000 in the book of Revelation chapter 7, I believe. And those 144,000 are 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And these 144,000 have a visible seal on their forehead that they're going to be marked with, so that they will not be hurt by any of the plagues that happen. And they are racial Hebrew Jewish Israelites.
All right.
And they're men.
Okay. Here's an interesting question from the live chat. Was JFK Bill Clinton's father?
Some say that Bill Clinton was his father. Others say that it was Nelson Rockefeller. But he was a father of somebody of power because his education at Jesuit Georgetown University was paid for. And that's one of the most expensive educations you can have.
Mm-hmm. And a question then from the live chat. Will there be a separation of races on the new earth?
There will be the nations. I mean, I'm sure they will be communicating with one another, but if you look in Revelation chapter, 22, I believe, talks about chapter 21, verse 24. Okay, we're in the new heavens, new earth. The Lord's created the new earth, and it says here, verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. This is the new Jerusalem that's come to the new earth. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. So there will be nations, national distinctions based on race, language, culture, and where they live in eternity. But I do not believe that is for the church. The church has no earthly promise. The church has a heavenly promise. We have no earthly promise in Christ.
Did I read on your website, Vatican Assassins, that the Pope is going to be killed and he's going to raise from the dead?
That's correct.
Okay. And so is this where there's supposed to be two witnesses around, or is this something completely different from that?
No, the two witnesses. Okay, first we have the 70th week of Daniel. It begins when the final Pope of Rome, who is a Roman Caesar, he's the seventh Roman Caesar of Revelation 17:10.
Okay.
The first six Caesars, these first six kings of this fourth world empire, they being then Caesars, those first Roman Caesars attributed deity to themselves and persecuted the Jews. And of the 12 Caesars, from Augustus to, what is it, Domitian, there are only six that fit that position. And they are Caligula, Claudius, Nero, Vespasian, Titus. Those are the five that are fallen. One is the time that John was being used by God to write the book of the Revelation in 95-96 AD. That was Domitian. And then the seventh king is going to come, and he's going to come for a short space. Mm-hmm. So there's coming a seventh Roman Caesar who will confirm an existing covenant with many nations for 7 years, and that covenant will secure the security of Israel, or in the eyes of the Pope, his revived Latin kingdom of Jerusalem. And when he begins that 70th week of years by this firm covenant, according to Daniel 9:27, on that very day, the two witnesses, whom I believe to be Moses and Elijah, will be showing up on the streets of Jerusalem preaching repentance to national Israel. And they will have a ministry of 1,260 days for the first 3.5 years of this 70th week. And at the time the Pope is slain and he comes back to life, he then will go down to the temple, the third Hebrew temple, and into Jerusalem, and he will kill the two witnesses. And those two witnesses will lie in the streets of Jerusalem for 3 days. And at the end of 3 days, they will come back to life, and they will ascend into heaven, and there'll be a great earthquake in Jerusalem. But from that time on, with the Pope that is slain, and he comes back to life as the risen Pope, he's the eighth Roman Caesar, he then will rule the world after he kills the two prophets for 42 months. And this will be what I call the man beast. The beast is a man because he has a number, and his number is the number of a man, according to Revelation 13:18. He is the Antichrist of 1 John 2:18 and 1 John 4:3, because the article is in the Greek in those two verses talking about the Antichrist. And so he will be the Antichrist, the man beast, that will rule the world for 42 months.
Are you a preacher?
No, but I've been told I do that sometimes.
Oh, okay. just well versed in that kind of thing. All right, question. When is Jesus coming back? Basic question.
Any moment.
Okay, any moment.
He's coming.
Okay,
any moment.
The
Bible says in 1 John 3, it says
that. All right, truth, pay
it
attention.
Is not, what's that?
I was talking to the guy who wrote that, so I told him to pay attention.
Okay, 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it kneweth not him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The hope of the Christian is looking for his appearance.
Okay, well,
that is momentary any day.
Well, I'm still looking for the Giants, so let's just get that clear right now. Why do the Jesuits let you live? I think we already asked this question. You seem to have quite a bit of information exposing these narcissists, these molesters, whoever these people are. Man, you're sort of painting a coherent picture there. Maybe it should be enough to throw them off base there. So do they like you? How do I know the Black Pope's not paying for your website? I mean, maybe you're an agent of change. I heard that last week. A change agent, or what is that other word where you kind of get in there and kind of reverse things? But anyways, how do I know you're not with them?
Well, people come to stay with me sometimes, and they can see how I live. Mm-hmm. They can see what I do.
Uh-huh.
So I don't, my life is open to their evaluation if they think I'm some sort of an agent. Sometimes I wish I was, because I wouldn't have to live from week to week.
Well, what is it that you do?
I am involved in selling my books, mm-hmm. selling my CDs, and I also sell credit card processing services with Central Payment Corporation. So if there are any of you businessmen that want a better rate on your credit card processing services, please let me know and I can arrange something for you. And if I can't do better, you'll get a check for $250.
Okay, well, or a free ticket to the nearest Jesuit priest meeting. So we got this Black Pope, wrap this and wind this thing down. We got a Black Pope running around out there. Now, so what I got here is he's running the White Pope. But as I tried to go back earlier in the first hour, you're saying that the devil is running the Black Pope, and so you got all these people running around each other trying to control civilization and current and events, when it comes down, there's a lot of things that people speculate is going to happen, such as 2012, Planet X coming back to hit us, alien invasion, or all these sort of peripheral information that comes across. Is that all been provided by the Black Pope himself, trying to mess things up, keep people off their base, off their even keel, to be looking at these other things so that they can come in and fulfill their evil plans for the human race?
That's right. It's to get us to stop reading the Bible. Mm-hmm. Because the Bible is very clear on what's coming, what's happening. So if it can move us away from that, then he who rejects the Bible will be a victim to anything they want to put in our path.
Well, if we're reading your books, are we not reading the Bible? Didn't we stop reading the Bible there too?
What's that now? Pardon me?
Didn't you sell you're selling CDs and books?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but if we're reading those, then are we not reading the Bible? Isn't that the same thing?
Well, my books and
yours,
CDs
yours
are
yours
aids,
is okay.
but they're not necessary.
Okay, yours is okay, I guess.
Well, it's not necessary if that's what you want me to say. I'm saying that we have to be in the Word of God on a regular basis to have our minds transformed, have a renewed mind, so that we might be able to perceive what's going on and realize that the font of all political, theological, commercial evil is Rome, the Jesuit order, the Roman hierarchy, and all the orders of the Vatican.
And now, how do the Rothschilds and Rockefellers fit into that? Are they Jesuits as well?
Well, the Rockefellers are Gentiles, and the Rothschilds are racial Jews, and those racial Jews have intermarried with white Gentile families like the Aldobrandini family. Mm-hmm. So the Rothschilds have been nothing but the keepers of the Vatican treasury, and F. Tupper Saucy will even tell you that in his book, Rulers of Evil.
Mm-hmm. All righty. And in the final minutes, Eric, have we covered everything that you want to talk about on the program? Because we have a few minutes left. You can still talk about your website or kind of wrap things up. I mean, what is it that people should take away with the information you provide? I mean, I know it probably would help if they got your products per se, but what is it that they would get if they would, get your book or CD? I mean, they're going to find out who the Black Pope is, how the whole thing operates, and then once they have that information, what should they do? What can they do with that information?
Okay, once you have that information, then you'll understand how this world system has been set up by Satan. The next thing you do, once you have that understanding, and you need to truly know the Lord, you need to truly be born again. You need to truly be in Christ, having repented of your sins and being having believed the gospel. Now, once you've been saved by the grace of God and the Spirit of God resides in you, now you have the power to resist this mystery of iniquity, to resist the designs of the devil's men seeking to destroy us, to destroy all nationalists, to destroy every nation, and force us into a world government under the Pope. And so I maintain that once you are saved and you know the Lord and you have this, my general book, which reference to many other books, you can pray. You'll seek the Lord, and the Lord will answer your prayers, and He will show you many mighty things that you don't know.
Well, you know, it seems to me that it's a more likely scenario that some Muslim black pope is going to be running things, because the way they're running, the way they're going around killing people around the world and trying to take over countries, it seems to me there's more to fear from them than there is some pope dude and his molesting priest going crazy.
No, you have to understand that the papacy is a political empire, that it created Islam, and that the leaders of Islam are all high-level Freemasons out of the Grand Lodge of Cairo and Istanbul. They run the Islamic Brotherhood. And so all these high Freemasons that are Muslims are nothing more than the agents for the Black Pope's international Islamic terrorist network, controlled by his international intelligence community.
Well,
that's all it is.
They seem kind of stupid to be Masons, don't they? Don't Masons have some kind of understanding of, geometry and, you know, squares and whatnot? I mean, don't they have to have like a little math?
I'm talking about the leaders, Daniel. Yeah. I'm not talking about the average Muslim.
Okay.
I'm talking about the leaders, like Sadiq Khan, who was behind the 7/7 bombing in London. He was working for British intelligence. Bin Laden, he was an agent of the CIA with his name of, Tim Osman. All these high Islamic leaders, the King of Saudi Arabia, the President of King Abdullah of Jordan, they're all high-level Islamic Masons submitted to the Black Pope. This is the same way with Muammar Gaddafi out of Libya. I have a picture of him in my book dressed in black as he's having an audience with a Pope. What are these Muslim doings having an audience with a Pope unless they serve him?
Wow. Okay, well, that sounds like a good place to end it there. Eric John Phelps, I appreciate you coming on the Edge broadcast. Can we have you on again sometime?
Well, I'd love to come on, and thank you, Daniel. I appreciate your time, and hopefully the listeners had something that they can use.
All right, sir.
Appreciate it.
All right, then. Bye-bye.
Okay, Lord bless.
You've been listening to The Edge with Daniel Ott. To subscribe to The Edge newsletter, log on to theedgeam.com. That's theedgeam.com, where you can find out about our guests and topics discussed on the air. The Edge has been brought to you by EBN, the Edge Broadcasting Network, providing affordable live web streaming to the world. Visit EBN at ebnlive.net. That's ebnlive.net. Until next week, for The Edge Broadcast, I'm Chris Moore. See you on the Edge.